I want you to take your Bibles this evening and turn to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter 14, once you find Matthew 14, I want you to find verse number 22. The title of the sermons, this evening's sermon is quite simple. It's Doubting God. Doubting God. Why is it that we doubt God? And we're going to talk about that. Matthew chapter 14, look at verse 22. Stand with me then, if you would. And I'm going to read a total, I think, of 10 verses, Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse number 22. And it says this, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evenings come, he was there alone. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help the young people to be still and quiet. Might we all be respectful of the preaching time. Someone tonight truly, desperately needs something that will be said during this sermon. All of us need to grow in our faith. Help us, Lord, tonight to be able to understand a little more about this thing of doubting you. Holy Spirit of God, help us through the service, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll read to you again Matthew chapter 14, verse number 31, where it says, And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And we're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to the story about Peter and his doubting that is described here in Matthew 14. And young people, look right up here, and I want you to be very, very quiet. Be very quiet. In the Bible, the man by the name of Thomas is found to be a doubter in John chapter 20. Sarah and Abraham in their old age had a moment of doubt with God, and you see that in Genesis 17. Gideon doubted that God could use him in Judges chapter 6. Job's wife doubted God in Job chapter 2. Barak doubted God in Judges chapter 4 and 5. I was very interested in the word doubt. I took a look at it with a little more detail this afternoon, matter of fact. You don't have to know Greek or Hebrew to read your Bible. You've got the English Bible. I sometimes use it a little bit like a microscope, if you will. The word doubt in the Greek word is the word distazo. The word dis, or that the first part of the word, means to. The word stazo means stance. What it means is choosing a double stance, or wavering in your stance, vacillating or shifting, wanting to have the best of both worlds, wanting to have your cake and eat it. In other words, living by faith when it's easy and living in the flesh when it's not so easy. When you're doubting, that you're trying to decide which way you want to go, if you will. Matter of fact, if you study the word doubt deep enough and you really work at it, I'll tell you what I found. The word doubt, from God's perspective, is you turning from Him to nothing. Because the way God sees it, He is your everything. And why would you want to doubt He who is everything and turn to nothing? Don't make the mistake of losing your faith in God. Now, in the story this evening, Jesus tells his disciples to get into a ship and into that ship without him. They are to meet him on the other side of the shore. Jesus goes alone to pray. The evening comes and there is a storm on the sea. The heavy winds come, the powerful waves come, and the ship is being tossed all over the place. They're a little fearful that they could die. It's a bad storm. And Jesus comes walking on the water, walking on that sea to them. When they saw him, they were troubled. They wondered if it were really him. They wondered if it was a spirit. And Jesus wanted to calm them down. And he basically said, "It's really me." And he said, "Be of good cheer." He needed to cheer them up. Sounds to me like they were freaking out. So he was trying to calm them down. "Don't be afraid." And then Peter says, "Well, if it's really you, let me walk out on the water to you." And Jesus said, "Come." Matthew 14:29. He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So Peter actually takes some steps walking on the water. But Peter begins to sink. Matthew 14:30. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried and saying, 'Lord, save me.'" So Jesus catches him before he sinks. In Matthew 14:31, it says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?'" Note, listen to what Jesus was asking. "Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt, Peter? Why did you change your mind?" You do understand Peter started walking on the water. Few steps out, he vacillated. Actually, he turned from everything to nothing and he began to sink. Jesus is asking, "Why did you waver, Peter? Why did you lose your faith in me, Peter? Why did you question me, Peter? Why did you stop trusting me at that moment? Why did you weaken your belief in me? Wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, folks, it would probably be a good idea for you and I to ask ourselves the same question that was asked of Peter. Why do we doubt? Now, let me tell you, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, as always, my sermon is very, very simple. I want to give you some scriptural logic tonight. Why do we doubt? It'll be quite simple. I'd kind of like to get into your mind a little bit tonight, and I want you to think about why you doubt God, and I'll think about why I would doubt God. Let me say, first of all, are you doubting God because of God? So are you doubting God because of God? And here's what I mean by that. Do you doubt him because he's broken promises to you? Now, Psalm 77:8, it says, "Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore?" What that is, it's telling us God's promises never fail. So someone might say, "Well, I'm doubting God because I feel like he has broken a promise to me." I'm very sorry. God has never broken a promise to anybody. He is true to his word, and he's always been true to his word. There's an old saying that we make, you can go to the bank on it. How many of you have heard that saying from years going by? Well, let me tell you something. You can go to the bank on anything that God has said. If he said it, you can trust it. Now listen, man may break his promises to man, but God never breaks his promises. Don't doubt God because man has tampered with your trust. That's totally unfair to God. Listen, don't blame God because man let you down. I've met people that doubt God because somebody in some church, some human being let them down. That's totally unfair. God is a good God. He's a good God all the time. And God is pure and God is true. And God has never broken a promise to anyone. So I ask the question, are you doubting God because of God? You think he broke a promise to you, but yet God's never broken a promise. Hey, Maybe it's this. Is whatever he wants of you or whatever you face, is it beyond his ability to perform? Do you doubt him because he's not big enough to do what needs to be done? Psalm 145, verse number 3 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." When it says it's unsearchable, it means it's unending. You could look for the end of God's greatness, and you could look and 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 look. You're never going to get to the end of God's greatness. You know, he created the universe, and we would think, wow, that's big. Well, he created everything beyond the universe and beyond the universe's universe. And suddenly, God's not able. There are people that doubt God because they wonder if God's big enough. I've got news for you. God is big enough to do whatever needs to be done. Is God asking you to do something for him that he's not able to help you do? I think not. Noah had a big job. He needed to build an ark, but God helped him. And Joshua faced the battle of Jericho, and God helped him. And Moses needed to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, and God helped him. Jesus needed to be resurrected from the grave, and God helped him. Sounds to me like God is big enough to perform anything that needs to be done. And God has never broken a promise to anyone. Why do we doubt him? Do we doubt God because of God? Has he asked you to face something that he cannot provide you with the strength to face it successfully? Has God been unfair to you and put something on you that's unfair? Let me explain. God equips you with everything you need to go through anything that you need to go through as his child. Hey, did you know God funds all of his projects? Now, he may not fund all of yours or mine, but God funds all his projects. If it's in God's will, you have the bank of heaven at your disposal. Hey, did you know that God will give you any amount of strength that you need to do anything that he wants you to do or he needs you to do? Now, why in the world would we doubt God? Do we doubt God because he's broken promises? Well, we shouldn't. Should we doubt God because we think that what he requests of us is beyond his ability to perform? Well, I don't think that should be the case. Do we doubt God because we don't think he can give us the strength that we need to do what he needs us to do? Well, I don't think that should be the case. It may be what you're thinking, but if you're thinking that way, you're thinking wrong. Do we doubt God because of God? Do you doubt him because he has changed or he's become untrustworthy? God's become unpredictable, so you just can't depend on him. Well, I don't know if you think that way. Now, I'll tell you something. Someone that changes all the time, they're very difficult to follow. They're very difficult to depend upon. But did you know that in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." Then he said in Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." Let me explain. God is not unpredictable. God is not unstable. Did you know that God is not being influenced by society and therefore is vacillating and changing and undependable and unpredictable? But you know, we would like to figure out why in the world would we not have faith in God, or why would we doubt? Are you doubting because of God? You're doubting God because of God? I have to tell you, that's very unreasonable. There's no reason to doubt because of God. He's never broken a promise. He has the ability to perform anything that needs to be performed. He can provide you with all the strength that you need to do anything he needs you to do. He is trustworthy. He is predictable. He is stable. Our God is a rock. Do you try to blame your doubt of God on God? I would guess you're thinking wrong. We don't doubt him because of him. We doubt him because of ourselves. We doubt him because of ourselves. Hey, now, may I ask a second question? Are you doubting God because of you? Because of you. Now, we do not live in our current society is not much for personal responsibility. Everybody wants to pass the buck. Everybody has to find somebody to blame. Everybody wants to find somebody that's responsible for our own personal misbehavior, shortcomings, and I don't think that's right, but I will tell you this. If you're doubting God, it's because of you. If I'm doubting God, it's because of me. Let me give you a few thoughts about this. Do you doubt him because you have let him down and you have a deep sense of guilt that hinders your faith? You let him down so much that you have a hard time believing that he could want to be trustworthy for you. Let me say it again. You let him down so much, you have a hard time believing that he could want to be trustworthy for you. You see, we don't have any right to doubt God because of God. If we doubt God, it's because of ourselves. And I think there are times when we let God down enough, we begin to wonder if God will come through for us. Now, let me explain. You're wrong does not change the character of our God. So here's what I'm telling you. If you have let God down so much that you're doubting God, you shouldn't be doubting God because you let God down. You go ahead and exalt God and you let God be God and don't you lose your faith in God. You say, but preacher, I've let him down. I'm going to reap what I have sown. Well, that's a process that the Bible very clearly teaches. But don't you muddy the name of God and don't you muddy the power of God and don't you doubt the great God of the universe. It may be that you let him down, but your God's not let you down and he's not going to let us down. He is what he is, but I think we doubt him because we let him down and we have a deep sense of guilt and it hinders our faith. Let me give you another thought. Maybe your trials have been long. Maybe your trials and hardships have wore you out and you're tired of fighting the good fight of faith. Maybe you doubt God because you just don't want to have faith. You don't want to trust. Your flesh is saying, I'll do it myself and I don't need to trust him. You don't want to have a good attitude during your trials. You don't want you to have a good spirit during your battles. You don't want you to have a good lookout during the dark times. You don't want you to encourage others when you're struggling. Why? You're just tired. And you don't want to put the energy into it that it takes to have faith. And because you're tired, you've just decided you'll doubt. Now, let me warn you, folks. It's a battle. And the devil wants to get us down. And if you are doubting God, you have no justification in doubting God because of God. And the truth is, if you're doubting God, you're doubting God because of you. The truth is, if you're doubting God, you've let him down. And so you're going to muddy his reputation with your doubt. But it's not his fault. You're the one that let him down. He didn't let you down. And then maybe you've carried a burden for a long time and you're wore down. And you just say, I'm tired. And I don't want to fight the good fight of faith anymore. But don't hold it against God if you doubt. If I doubt, I doubt for myself. If you doubt, you doubt for yourself. Hey, I wonder, do you doubt because you have become self-confident? Self-confident. You don't need to trust God because now you can handle it yourself. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 3 says, For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Be careful. If you become self-confident, then you're going to doubt God. Pride is not exercising faith in God. Pride is exercising faith in yourself. I can remember I was teaching one of my sons to drive, and he wanted to drive. He was too young to drive, but he wanted to drive. And he would say, Dad, let me drive. I want to drive. Let me drive. I kind of got tired of him asking, and I said, all right, you can drive. And he was shocked. So I went around, got in the car. I did put my seatbelt on. He put his seatbelt on. I said, all right, drive. He was just about in shock. He finally got into the drive. We got up the road about 10 feet. And he said, Dad, you drive. Let me tell you something. It's the way a lot of us are in the Christian life. God, let me do it. Let me make my decisions. Let me do it. Let me tell you something. The day you take over the steering wheel of your life, you will have such a mess on your hands. If you had any sense, you'll be saying back to your Heavenly Father, God, you take back over. Self-confidence causes doubt. You're proving doubt. So, we doubt God because we let Him down, not because He let us down. We doubt God because we get tired, and when we get tired, we just don't want to fight the good fight of the faith. We doubt God because we become self-reliant or we become confident. And that confidence is pride, and it shows that we're doubting God and we're putting our faith in ourselves. And that's a dangerous thing to do. Hey, maybe you doubt God because you want to live by sight. Of course, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith, it's a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now listen, sometimes I think people make the decision, I don't want to live by faith, I want to live by sight. You know, there are a lot of people in the Christian life, they don't want to live by faith. Living by sight is probably easier than living by faith. And we don't want to do the hard thing. A lot of people don't want to do the hard thing. Just follow the flesh. Let your flesh make your decisions. Let your flesh lead you around. Let your flesh be in control. Hey, it's hard to fight the flesh. And so, I think sometimes we doubt God because we just don't want to live by faith. We want to live by sight. So we doubt God as a result of it. That's because it's easier. Be careful. Doing the easy thing will not make you a good Christian. So, we doubt Him because we let Him down. We doubt Him because we just get tired. We don't want to fight the good fight of faith. We doubt Him because we become self-reliant or self-confident. We doubt Him because we just don't want to live by faith. We want to do the easy thing. And it's easy to follow your flesh. It's easy to do what your body says, to do what the world says, to do what society says, and to go with the flow. So we just don't want to do the hard thing. Maybe you doubt God because you have taken your eyes off of the Lord. Have you taken your eyes off the Lord? Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. It says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Notice there, looking to Jesus brings faith. If you're not looking unto Jesus, then you're looking unto something else. What are you looking unto? You're looking unto yourself, or maybe you're looking unto the world. Now, I'm going to promise you, people that are worldly usually are people of doubt. They're people of doubt. They're very attached to the world, and so they doubt the things of God. They doubt the Bible. You can teach them things from the Bible, and they doubt it. They doubt that that's important. I promise you, as you get that worldliness out of your life, your faith is going to grow. And you're not going to doubt God so much. There is, during the purification of your life, as you get your eyes off the world, it will strengthen your faith. Worldly people are doubting people. So, here it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, our faith, what is that? Faith is the opposite of doubt. And we've got to keep our eyes on the Lord, folks. Keep your eyes on God. When you're going through a tough time, keep your eyes on the Lord. You say, Pastor, I cannot see why I am going through this. Well, you might not be able to see why you're going through this, but let me recommend that you do one thing. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You say, why? Because you might not be able to see why, but if you can see Him, He knows why. That's all you need to do. You say, Pastor, boy, why did I face this and this certain situation when I was a child? I don't know. And you say, I don't see why. I don't know either. But I'll tell you this, if you'll keep your eyes on the Lord knows what's going on. The Lord knows exactly why you've been through what you've been through. The Lord knows why you'll go through what you go through. The Lord knows why you must carry what you must carry. And there are people out there all over the place that doubt God, and I'll tell you why. Because they don't see why this happened. They don't see why that happened. When instead of looking for the reason, just look to the Lord. And let's believe the Lord knows what's going on. There's a lot of times people ask me a question about a hardship that they've been through in life, and there's not a whole lot that I can say. I can't always explain why something happened, but I can always explain this. God knows. You keep your eyes on the Lord. Because looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, by keeping your eyes on the Lord, you'll distance yourself from the doubt of life. And part of that is be very careful, because when we get to looking down, we see how bad it is around us and all that we must face. If I were you, I'd keep looking up. Keep looking up. Look to Jesus. Did you know you don't have to understand everything that happens to you? You just need to understand God understands. I wouldn't even spend my life just searching, just constantly. Why'd this happen to me? Why'd that happen to me? I would be careful with that. I would just keep your eyes on the Lord. It will strengthen your faith, which will limit your doubt. So, this is what I said. People want to blame God for their doubt. They're doubting God because of God. But wait a minute. That's not fair. He's never broken a promise to anybody. He has all the power that it takes to perform anything that needs to be performed. He has all the strength to make available to us that we might do anything He would require of us. He's not a changing God. He is trustworthy. He is predictable. He is stable. And He's not being influenced by society to change in any way, shape, or form. Our God is a rock. Now, we better be careful ever blaming God for our doubt. He deserves our faith. So, if it's not right for you and I to blame God for our doubt, then I guess we may have to take some personal responsibility. Maybe you doubt Him because you let Him down. Because you let Him down, you virtually muddy His reputation with your doubt. Look, what you and I do does not change the character and the holy, powerful reputation of God, nor should we ever want it to. There's some of you, you let God down, you create a mess for yourself, and then you turn around and say, well, where's God in all this? God is as holy and righteous and doing the right thing all along the way as He has ever been. You made the mess. Don't blame God. And you say, well, wonder if I didn't make the mess. Somebody in the human race did. Sure wasn't God. Wasn't God. We doubt God because we let Him down, not because He let us down. We doubt God because sometimes we get tired. And we just get to the point where we just don't want to fight the good fight. Please don't let that happen to you. We doubt God because we become self-confident. We doubt God because we just get tired of living by faith. I want to live by sight. I don't want to do what's hard. And we doubt God because we get our eyes off of the Lord. And when we get our eyes off the Lord, we get to looking at something else, and usually it's something in the world. Let me tell you what salvation is. If you're a guest here tonight, we are saved by faith. You say, what does that mean? You will not save yourself. You will place your faith in Jesus Christ to go to heaven. And you say, well, I doubt that He could save me. Then you're probably not going to get saved. And if you don't get saved, it won't be His fault. Because He's dependable. He's done everything that needs to be done for you to be saved. If you die and go to hell, you won't die and go to hell because of God. You'll die and go to hell because of you. You say, because of what? Your doubt. Everything is cared for your salvation. All you have to do is your part. You say, what is that? Just belief. It's not heavy. It's not hard. You just have to believe. Men come up with all sorts of man-made types of salvation. They say you have to get baptized to get saved. That's not true. That's not in the Bible. This is a Baptist church, and we believe in baptism, but it doesn't save you. It's a step of obedience after your salvation. Your faith, you say, what am I supposed to do? You look to Jesus for salvation. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, there are actually churches and religions that say you must give money. You can give money to be saved, and that's not true. You can't buy salvation. You have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. There are some that say you need to join the church and have your name on the church roll. And I believe you ought to join the church. The Bible's real clear. You ought to get saved, then you get baptized, then you join the church. But joining the church is not going to get you to heaven. You could be the member of every church in this county and still die and go to hell because you have to look to Jesus Christ. You have to put your faith in Christ to be saved. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you don't get saved, you can't blame it on God. God's done His part. If you don't get saved, it'll be your doubt in the simple plan of salvation. The fact that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. And if you will simply ask Him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sin, and be your Savior, He'll save you just like that. You say, hey, it's got to be harder than that. That doubt will send you to hell. Why would God send me to hell? Oh, He wouldn't be sending you to hell. You'd be sending you to hell. You can't blame God for that. You'll go to hell because of your doubt. God is a perfect God. The story about Peter is quite interesting. You know that Peter, he did walk on that water. And when he got out a few steps and he began to sink, and Jesus asked him, why did you let anything play with your mind? You were walking on the water. Now, I told you at the beginning, you know, when you really look at doubt and the way God sees it, God sees you when you doubt. You're turning from Him who is everything virtually to nothing. Because whatever you'd put your faith in compared to Jesus Christ is a big nothing. Because He is everything. I think Peter figured that out walking on the water. He had his faith in Jesus Christ, and when he did, he was actually walking on that water. And when he began to vacillate and he began to doubt, you know what? He was going to sink. He was going to go under. It's almost like he was walking on the water, by faith, he turned from that faith, and he had nothing to walk on. So he would sink. Let's not doubt God. Let's not doubt God. And every single person in this room, whether it's a child, a teenager, if you're a young Christian or an older Christian or a senior saint, let me tell you something. We can all get ourselves in a position where we begin to doubt God. Let's not let it happen. Let's make sure that we have faith in God. I'll read a verse to you, and then we'll be done. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let's keep our faith in God.